This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Listening to the birds singing in my backyard is one of my favorite parts of spring. Until recently, researchers thought that most of the birds actually making all that lovely noise were males. But a few years ago, Karen Odom went through recordings of songs from more than 1,000 species from all around the world and found that 64% of those had females that sing. Odom is a postdoctoral research fellow at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and she has launched a new citizen science initiative to study female bird songs. It's called, appropriately, the Female Bird Song Project. Karen joins me now. Karen, I feel like I should sing or chirp some sort of hello or welcome, but I think we'll have to just do with good old English. Welcome to the show.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
I have to say, this whole thing, the more I read about your project and the history of research into male and female birdsong, made me feel a little sad and maybe righteously indignant for female birds. I mean, first of all, they get the more kind of drab colors, which I guess in an evolutionary sense, you know, makes sense. The males are displaying their bright colors. The females maybe want to blend in and hide in the nest for protection. But why wouldn't female birds sing as much or as in as complicated a way? Why would we assume that about female birds?
Right. So we do see some species where females do not seem to sing. I mean, they don't sing as much as males. But I think that a lot of this comes from where we've studied birds and bird song. And so certainly in some species, we do see males being really elaborate and singing a lot in order to attract females. And for the same reasons that females might want to be dull, we see that females may not sing to avoid predation on the nest or attract predators to her nestlings. But if we go to different parts of the world, a lot of research has been done in temperate regions where breeding seasons are short and females may want to hide. But if we go to these more tropical locations, then we see both males and females singing and often singing a lot.
Why would tropical versus temperate make a difference in who sings and how much?
Yeah, so in a temperate region, like I said, a lot of times birds are migratory, so they're showing up just for short periods of the breeding season. But then if you go to the tropics, and when we think about tropical biology, a lot of those birds are staying in the same place year-round, and they're holding a territory. And that territory provides places to nest, but it also provides places for gathering food and finding other resources year-round. And to defend this territory and to defend it year-round may require defense by both the female and the male.
So they're kind of working as a team more in that.
Yeah. So we see these more similar sex roles. So so when you come to temperate regions, males and females kind of divide up the tasks that they're doing in order to quickly produce offspring and take care of the kids. But then if you get to more tropical regions, then they're working more as a team to continually sustain all of these resources that they need for the whole year.
Well, let's actually listen to an example. You have studied the troupials in Puerto Rico. Let's first listen to the male song. I mean, first of all, that just puts me right in the rainforest, which is a wonderful and much needed dose of warmth, if only imagined right now. But what is that male troupial saying or doing with that song? Do we know?
Yeah. So so the males and females in the troupial sing. We did find some interesting sex differences between males and females when I was studying them. It does seem that males are singing more at dawn, and they seem to sing in situations where they may be guarding their female or protecting the female. And so that does fit with some of the ways that we think of song as being classically sexually selected to attract mates. During the breeding season, we saw a lot more males singing during the breeding season in these troupials. And so it may be that their songs and the way that the males are using songs fit into really classical ways we think about bird song.
Okay, so then let's hear what the female sounds like. equally beautiful, I would say, at least as complex as the male song. What's that female troupial doing with her song?
So, yes, yeah, so something really interesting about the troupials is we found no difference in the kinds of songs that females and males sing, and that females can sing equally complex songs to the males. And what we found in the troupials is that females are singing less specifically in the breeding season. They're using their songs year-round, the kinds of ways that I was talking about, that they might be needing to use these songs throughout the year for a variety of different activities. So it may be that these female troupial songs are being used in less traditional ways or in this year-round territory defense that we think about when we think of why females might be singing.
Hmm. And then sometimes the troupials actually sing together in this beautiful duet. Is that a conversation, or is that, as we kind of talked about earlier, the two of them working as a team somehow to project one message to the rest of the rainforest?
A lot the latter. So I think that these troupials, and what we know from a lot of other duetting species, is that these duets seem to be some kind of joint territory defense. And so it may be that they're using these songs a lot in the same way that the female is, that these combined duets work potentially even better, or could be a really strong signal to tell other birds to stay off of their territory and allow both the male and female to work together to defend those resources.
In an evolutionary sense, do we know which came first, these pairs where males and females both sing, kind of the tropical version of things, or the temperate version where the females don't sing as much? Is this something that tropical birds picked up or something that temperate birds lost along the way?
We have some of the answers to those things. We do know that songbirds probably evolved out of Australasia, and this is a region that we do see a lot of female and male birdsong. So some research that colleagues and I did, we actually looked at the world distribution of birdsong and reconstructed whether it seemed more likely that females and the ancestor of all songbirds sang, or whether it seemed like song has been more recently evolved in some females. And it seems like the ancestral female songbird was singing. And so now the distribution where we see some species where females don't sing, it seems that female song has been lost. And that might be tied to where songbirds have evolved from. And they evolved from these areas where we still today see a lot of female song.
I'm talking with Karen Odom about her female birdsong project. So it's not only tropical female birds that do sing. I want to jump to one that we're all very familiar with, the common cardinal. Here's what the female sounds like. I know listening to that I've heard that in my backyard, but I'm not sure I would actually be able to tell it apart from the male. Let's hear the male. What's the difference there between the male and the female? Is that one of those cases where the male is a little bit more complex? It seemed like it had a little bit of a trill to it, maybe, that the female didn't have.
Yeah, I agree with your first instinct, actually. And if I heard these two birds in my backyard, I don't think I would be able to tell them apart either. And I think that's probably true of a lot of female songs. As we're starting to measure more and more female songs, we do see some differences. In some species, there's drastic differences, but we see a lot of species where the female and male songs are actually the same. And I think that's part of the puzzle and what our findings now that female song is more common than we thought, I think, is because you can't necessarily hear these differences between females and males, and you have to actually see the bird. And sometimes birds are up in trees and in foliage, and you don't get a great look at them. And so I think that there were a lot of assumptions or people not necessarily getting good looks at these singing females, and they just went unnoticed for a long time.
You've said now twice that we've kind of been going on assumptions for a long time, assuming that males sang more, assuming why males sang, or that males had more complicated songs. Is this some sort of projection of our own kind of gender biases onto our scientific assumptions. Why do we know so little about female birdsong, and why has it been relatively ignored?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's us projecting our own gender biases. I think it has a lot to do with how we've thought of sexual selection and the role of males in that. But I think it certainly has to do about how we have thought about birdsong in the past as this male sexually selected trait. And our research is indicating that there is possibly some amount of bias where people really are thinking of these bird songs as a male trait. And if they don't see the bird and they try to assign a sex, they are more likely to call the bird a male versus a female. And so there does seem to be some indication that that this bias exists, at least.
You're doing a lot of this work as a citizen science project, asking for bird enthusiasts all over the world, really, to contribute to your research. What are you looking for people to do? How do you get involved?
Yeah, so it's really simple. The first thing we ask is just to be aware. Just be aware that the bird in your backyard could be a male or a female when you hear it singing. And if you hear that bird singing and you're interested to record it or to contribute, just make sure you take a look at that bird and try to sex it. Identify if it's a female or male. If you see a singing female, certainly record it, document it. There is information on our website about where you can upload these songs. And then just a major thing we ask is that you take good notes on why you thought this was a male, why you thought it was a female, and just please archive and donate those songs so that they exist in collections for researchers to use to ask all sorts of questions.
That's Karen Odom. She's a postdoctoral research fellow at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and the principal investigator on the Female Birdsong Project. Karen, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.